The title of my message tonight is God's Amazing Love for Us. God's Amazing Love for Us. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. To the Gospel of John, chapter 3. You know, when you think about Thanksgiving, I want to ask you a question. What are you really thankful for tonight and tomorrow when you gather together with family? Tomorrow is a day when we're supposed to be really thankful for whatever God has really truly done in every one of our lives. And as I was thinking today, what am I really thankful in my life for? Immediately, a thought came into my mind, and I am thankful for God's amazing love for us. Amazing love for us. I can't believe how much God loves each one of us here tonight. Think for a moment how the whole world is angry, mad, no hope, no hope. Mothers and fathers arguing, fighting, separating, divorcing. Brothers and sisters breaking relationship with one another. Uncles and aunts and cousins, you know, not talking to one another, unforgiving. And yet tomorrow we're supposed to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're supposed to be thankful for God's salvation that He gave to us. We're supposed to thank Him for our parents, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our jobs, for our homes, for just being able to get up every morning and be able to breathe. Is God controls my life for one more day that is given to me to be able to live in this world. And yet when you think of the world and the hate that the world has, and yet when I think as a believer of that amazing, amazing love that God has for me and for you tonight, I love it. Because I just want you to know tonight that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. To cleanse you, to wash you by His blood. And when you think of the Gospel of John, it is the Gospel of love. It is the Gospel that Jesus gives to us concerning Himself becoming the Son of God, a deity. And as he writes in the third chapter, as God is dealing with a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Jewish rabbi, one that belonged to the Sanhedrin, the governing rulers of Israel, 72 of them, a rich man, pretty wealthy, and yet, in spiritually speaking, Nicodemus was a very empty person. Like so many people today. Even though they have the cars and they have the toys and they have the house and the bank accounts and the credit cards and all these things and great jobs, yet their lives are empty. Why? Because they don't have God. You cannot experience the love of God unless you have God in your heart. Unless you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came by night because he really was embarrassed and he really didn't want to get caught in the daytime, you know, by the other, you know, 71 in the governing, ruling government of Israel. So he came by night to question Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus took him aside and began to expound to him that he had to be born again of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus is explaining everything concerning the new birth, by the time he gets to chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is true life. God's love for you. God's love for me. I think it's really important that God's love was demonstrated to me and to Dale through the life of Punchy this week. Because that man has suffered so much. His heart has been broken in so many pieces. Went to Vietnam, fought in the war of Vietnam, came home, lost his family, gave himself to drinking for so many years, trying to escape. And yet God in all eternity, and even God at the present time, looking down because He loved Punchy so much, as He loves you, He gave him that opportunity not to take him home into eternity. Allowed him to be coherent and to receive His love and His grace and His mercy and to confess Him as Lord. That's the love of God. The love of God that is given to each one of us individually. This is the reason for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us in chapter 19, verse 10, He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Every one of us were lost at one time. Paul in the book of Ephesians tells us about our past, present, and future. How we used to be in darkness in this world, separated from God. And any person that doesn't really know God tonight is separated. And if they were to die tonight without God's love and God's grace and mercy, they would go into eternity, into hell, forever and ever. But the Bible says that God, for the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. This is why people need God's incredible love. How many people do you know that need God's incredible love? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know God's incredible love. The devil already is doing a good job in stealing our young people through the means of drugs, the music, all of the movies, sex, money, power, destroying marriages, destroying families. And yet, we want this generation to know that Jesus loves them. That Jesus loves them and has a plan for them. And has a plan for you. That's why we do what we do. We do crusades, we do radio rallies, we do radio programs. We're going to be going on television now. Because we want the world to know before it's too late that God loves them and God cares for them. Can you imagine how awesome to know that Jesus loves me unconditionally? Understand that. Unconditionally, He loves you and He loves me. He doesn't want you to come in any other way, but He loves you unconditionally. Come as you are. Come just as you are. How awesome to know that I haven't chosen God, but that He has chosen me. He chose me from the foundations of the world. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 15, 16, 17, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have set you apart, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." To experience the love of God is to give God's love to somebody else. "You shall know them by their fruit," Jesus said. And what is that? Love. Love. That's the greatest fruit of all fruits. Without love, we are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If there was a time that we need to know the love of God, it is today. more than ever before. Why? Because the world not only is being separated from God, but the world needs to understand God's love through you and through me, not by preaching it, but by demonstrating it in our lives, in a life of obedience. Obeying God's voice, obeying God's word. Coming to that place where we're not hypocritical. Making a real commitment to Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why Jesus Christ was sent into the world, to save you, to save me. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God never made hell for men. He made it for who? Matthew 25:41. He made it for the devil and his angels. Not for men. The only reason that man goes to hell is because he rejects the love of God. He rejects the love of God completely and fully. And that's why in Matthew 1:21, after 400 years of silence and coming into the New Testament at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's the gospel. He will save them from their sins. Dr. Billy Graham, quoting him, said, "God loves you. You're rebellious, you cheat, you commit immorality, you're selfish, you sin. But God loves you with an intensity beyond anything that I could describe to you. He loves you, and He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And notice, and the thing that kept Christ on that cross was love, not the nails. Love for you, for me. Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, my Savior, my King, my Lord, the one that touches our lives." You know what I find interesting is that as we look at the origin of redemption in chapter 3, verse 16, the first part is what? God so loved. God so loved. Interesting. The origin. The fountain head of salvation is the love of God. And by the way, God's love is described in three ways. Number one, God's love is described as a great love. A great love. In Ephesians chapter 2:4, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love and where He loved us." Talking to our friends, not preaching to them, we're praying that they will see this great love. And that they'll come like us to find Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because we don't want them to be separated from us. But we want them to spend eternity with us. That should be our passion. That should be our concern for every one of our family members and friends. To actually spend the time in sharing with them God's love. Secondly, God's love is an everlasting love. An everlasting love. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have," listen, "drawn you." He doesn't draw you by judgment. He draws you by love. Everlasting love that He has for us. And thirdly, God's love is a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. In Romans 5:8, Paul said, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Christ has died for the whole world. And all they have to do is repent and believe by faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the object of redemption in the second part of chapter 3:16. the world, the cosmos, the world that we live in. God so loved the world. Out of all the universes that He created, and all the galaxies that He created, He chose this little planet Earth to send His only begotten Son to be born of a virgin. To be born of a virgin mother by the name of Mary. Because He was so concerned with the world that He didn't want men to perish. But He wanted men to be saved. God's relation to the world, number one, He is creator of the world. Creator. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, when they created the world, He created it, what? The heavens and the earth out of bara or asa. Two Hebrew words. Bara means a non-existing material. Asa means something already existing. He used the word bara. None. Existent, He spoke it into being. The world. In Jeremiah 10:12, He says, He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at His discretion. Can you imagine how infinite God is? And we're going to get to spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled if you believe in me. Believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. So that where I am, you also will be with me. Heaven doesn't have 72 virgins waiting for us. Like the Muslims say, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Heaven is a holy place. It's God's dwelling. God's dwelling. We're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Secondly, He is mindful of the world. He doesn't forget the world. He knows what's up. He knows what's going on all the time. In Psalm 115:12, He says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He is mindful of me. Can you believe that? That out of all of the billions of people, God thinks about you individually. And He knows you by name. That's amazing to me. Amazing to me. That He's mindful of His world. And thirdly, that He is the Redeemer of the world. He is the only Redeemer. Nobody else can do that. In Ephesians 1:7, He says, in Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's by grace. Not by the law. Not by works, it's by grace. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. God's given it to us free. Because of His love. Because of His love. And fourthly, He is the judge of the world. Psalm 96:13 says, for He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. When people stand before God that day, at the white throne judgment, we will never stand at the white throne judgment, those that are Christian. But those in the world that have died without Jesus Christ, they will stand at the white throne judgment in Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15, and the books are going to be opened. And whoever's name was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire for the second death. That means that every person that will stand at the white throne judgment from the day they were born until the day they die, everything they ever did like us was written in a book. And it cannot be erased. The only way to get it erased is to repent and to come to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. And He'll cleanse you and wash you by His blood. He'll make everything new. And he'll take your sins, the Bible says, and he'll cast them as far as to the east, to the west, and he'll bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and he will never, ever remember them again. That's the word of the Lord. That's love. That's God's love. Third point, the plan of redemption, chapter 3:16, the third part, that he gave his only begotten son. He only had one son. Can you imagine what it would be like to give up your son or your daughter? How do you think Abraham felt when God, there in the book of Genesis 22, when God called Abraham to take his son Isaac and take a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah, he says, and when you get there, I want you to sacrifice your son. And the picture's like this. Abraham immediately gets up in the morning, calls his son, gets his actual donkey saddled, gets his servants, and they get the wood, they get the knife, and they're on their way. And when they get to Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, Mount Calvary today, it says that Abraham told his servants, me and the lad are going up there and we will be back. And the Bible says that Isaac was carrying the wood. Abraham had the knife. But nobody had the sacrifice. And when they got up to the top of the mountain, Abraham was already 100 years old. And Isaac was about 33 years old, the age of Jesus. And Isaac said, Dad, here is the altar. Here is the wood. You got the knife. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said this in 22:8. God will provide himself a sacrifice. 2,000 years before it ever happened in that mountain, he said, Jesus is going to die for you. That's love. That's love. And God spared Abraham's son. He wanted to see his obedience, to see how he would do it. And God provided a ram that was caught on the thickets, and he killed it and sacrificed it. Think of such a great plan of salvation God's for us. His love, his grace, his mercy. I mean, when you think that God gave his only begotten son, this is God's love sacrifice to win back the alienated world by his love. Because sin damaged the love of God and the power of Satan in this world. And yet Jesus was sent to take back the title deed to the earth that was lost by our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3 of Genesis. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, but in chapter 5, we see that there's no one worthy to take what? The book. Only one. Jesus. And it says that as he stood up, the one that had the handprints, the nails, and his feet, and his face was marred, he says he went up and he got the title deed to the earth and he took it back to himself. Why? Because he redeemed the world because of his love that he had for us. We could have been lost eternally. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And listen carefully. The accomplishment came, number one, through God's power. God's power. Nobody else's power. In Deuteronomy 7:8, the scripture says, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out in a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. A type of Satan in the Old Testament. He redeemed you, Israel. He brought you out. Secondly, it is through the blood of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2, he says, my little children, these things I have written to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He Himself is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the whole world. You see? The whole world. God did it for everybody if they will just repent and accept Him by faith and come to Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And thirdly, it is through the grace of God. In Romans 3:24-25, He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, atonement by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins they were previously committed. We sinned. Our past is sinful. Our present state is what? Not sinful anymore? Oh yeah, we do sin sometimes. Most of the time. But not the way we used to be. Because of what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. He saved us. He's cleansed us and He's washed us by His blood. Fourth and final point, the purpose of redemption in chapter 3:16, the fourth part, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. What an offer. What an offer He makes, that whosoever, not the elect, like the Calvinists would say, no, whosoever, anybody, that anybody that believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Nobody. So what's God's solution for men? Number one, God wants to forgive men. He wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive me. In Psalm 130, verse 4, He says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you so that we can fear you, God. You see? Secondly, God wants to deliver us from Satan's power. Satan's power. In Hebrews 2:14, He said, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him, Satan, the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Look at Christ has set us free. We are free men and women because of Jesus Christ. All free to serve Him, to love Him, and to worship Him. And thirdly, God wants to deliver us from the power of sin. The power of sin. Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, or Jehovah Shua. God is salvation. For He will save His people from their sins. I mean, look how rich we are. Look what God has done for each one of us individually. And all we have to do is just believe by faith and trust Jesus Christ. And when I think of His love that He has for Punchy, when I think of His love that He has for you, and whoever is not in here in this building tonight, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Father, we come before You tonight, Lord Jesus, to thank You so much for Your love and Your grace and Your mercies. And Lord God, I pray by the power of Thy Holy Spirit that You would continue to move in us, to work through us, Jesus. And Lord, to be able to see those that are watching tonight through the internet, Lord God, around the world, Father, in every language, Lord God, You just Father, it's the same thing. Love. The love of God. And maybe here tonight, in our presence tonight, is God has spoken clearly to us. If there's anyone here tonight, or many of us here tonight, that needs God's forgiveness, that needs God's salvation. If you want to go to heaven, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle and walk down to the front by faith and come and receive God's gift of salvation freely tonight. You get up and you come, we're going to worship. You come as God speaks to you. Father, we are humbled just to think how much you love us, Lord, and that you would save us and give us eternal life. Life in abundance, Lord. Quality life, Jesus. That even in this earth, as we are ill and we have all these problems, that one day there's not going to be any more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. But we shall be like you. How we thank you. And for every one of you that have come tonight, I want to pray with you. I want you to pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts. Okay? Pray with me out loud. Repeat after me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. I want to receive you by faith. And I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there, you guys? Go right over there to that door, okay? Go ahead, right through there. Cool. That's neat. That's neat.
Thank you for listening to Somebody Loves You with Pastor Raul Ries. If you would like more information, contact us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765, or call us at 1-800-634-9165.